Is sin still the issue for Christians today? How does the cross of Christ fit into all of this? Under grace, why are we supposed to keep ourselves pure? Today, Brother Dan Corner of EvangelicalOutreach.org will discuss all these things and more. Listen closely and verify all scriptures for yourself.
If you read the Bible, it is glaringly obvious that evil is still the issue with Almighty God. That is another way of saying sin has been and is now the problem with our holy, sin-hating Creator. Scripture states that God is slow to get angry, but He definitely does get furiously angry and extremely wrathful at times, even to the point of striking people dead and sending them to hell. The first recorded words of God to man were a warning about sinning and spiritual death. All through the entire Old Testament, from Aaron's golden calf to King David's adultery and murder to Solomon's idolatry, sin has always been the issue. Sin has brought pain, misery, regret, guilt, and the like, as well as spiritual death to people who have yielded to it. Sin frequently got Israel as a nation and different individuals in serious trouble with God, showing sinning has always been a very serious issue with Almighty God. Has that ever changed, even since the cross of Christ? Did the redemption of the Lord Jesus nullify the issue of sin for us today? Is Christian freedom a freedom from denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following Jesus? Without question, many teachers, even some very popular teachers of our day, are telling us in so many words that sin is no longer the issue. Could that be true? Or are such teachers dangerous wolves downplaying sin? This is a most important subject to know about, for it is definitely related to salvation itself. In the Old Testament, God set up an elaborate system for His people through animal sacrifices, priests, and various offerings to help deal with the sin issue. That continued for thousands of years until the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. The Lamb of God's redemptive death on the cross was for our forgiveness and was paid for in full, but never changed the fact that sin is the issue. The most stirring teachings in the entire Bible against sin, showing that sin is the issue, came from the Lord Jesus. In fact, the Lord Jesus taught the same way both before and after the cross. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus Himself taught before the cross, where He died for our sins. I'm only going to cite two references here, though I could cite many. Matthew 5:28-30, Jesus said, "But I tell you that if anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell." According to the Lord Jesus, avoiding sin is more important than having your right eye and right hand, which causes you to sin. Folks, ponder that. Though that sounds extreme, Jesus taught that. He is the ultimate authority, and that was His teaching. Jesus continued on and on with many statements about sin and its dangers, as well as the vital need to get forgiven. But in Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus taught about the necessity of us forgiving others who have sinned against us so we can be forgiven. Listen to what Jesus said. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Please note that you must forgive the people who have sinned against you to be forgiven yourself. It will not just happen automatically because you had a previous moment of saving faith and was born from above. After the cross, the Lord Jesus continued to teach that sin was still the issue. Listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 3:4-6. Jesus said, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Sin was the issue there, as all the others in the church at Sardis soiled their spiritual clothing, except the few. Only the few were worthy to walk with Jesus. That's the minority. The majority were no longer worthy. But that's not all. Also, in the seven churches of Asia, Jesus took issue with the church at Ephesus. Why? They forsook their first love. What about the church at Thyatira? Listen to this. Shocking but true. There was a false prophet teaching in the congregation, and she was being tolerated as she led others in that same congregation into sin. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I hold this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols." That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. That too was an issue with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, at Laodicea, it's commonly known, they were lukewarm. Another issue with the Lord Jesus Christ. Five times the seven churches heard from the lips of Jesus, "Repent." And that occurred after the cross, during our day of grace. So don't believe anyone who says sin is not the issue with God since the cross. That is a deadly lying distortion. Folks, to be more precise, false doctrine as well as sin were all issues in the five of the seven churches in Asia. Revelation 2 and 3 is also devastating to those who say in our dark day, it is now a sun issue, not a sin issue. They want to make it an either or issue. The truth is, it is both. Of course, one has or doesn't have eternal life based on having the Son of God or not. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12. But to believe on Jesus includes obeying Jesus, which is the opposite of disobeying Jesus, and disobeying Jesus is sin. So to have a saving faith in Jesus, you must obey and do the will of God and follow Jesus here and now. That is a saving faith in Jesus. So when one is following Jesus with saving faith, he has eternal life now. Jesus gives eternal salvation to those that obey him, Hebrews 5:9. Furthermore, it's also clear that there are no Christian adulterers, no Christian homosexuals, no Christian thieves, no Christian murderers, no Christian criminals. A Christian in the Bible is a saint. That is a holy person, a pure in heart person, one who is freed from his sin addictions and is serving God. That is the saving grace of the Bible. On the other hand, Kurt Christ distorts grace. Listen for yourself, folks.
Sin, the issue of sin, was settled at Calvary. You heard me correctly. It is a sun issue today, not a sin issue. I make no apologies for the Word of God.
Chris says he makes no apology for the Word of God. But the truth is, the Word of God boldly smashes his grace distortions with sin with no apologies. Could it be he doesn't have ears to hear and doesn't know what happened after the cross at the church at Sardis? All but a few in that church congregation got their spiritual clothing soiled by sin, and that certainly was a sin issue to the Son of God himself after his redemptive death on the cross. Again, Jesus said, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation chapter 3, 4 through 6. Too bad Kurt Christ is not the only one minimizing the danger of sin. He is far, far, far from alone. Here is Mike Popovich as he essentially speaks out the same spiritual poison. Listen to this.
Sin is not a problem with God anymore. He dealt with it. Amen? You guys understand that? So that's why it's shocking to people.
To teach sin is not a problem with God anymore is to be outlandishly deceived. Listen to Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice the magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Folks, that was spoken by God himself from his throne thousands of years after the cross, and sin is still the issue with God himself. And notice, it was not just the unbelieving, according to what he said, that will be thrown into the lake of fire in the end. The fact that Jesus bore our sins and paid for our redemption with his holy cleansing blood remains true. But so does that. There is no more sacrifice for sin or Levitical priesthood, but sin is still damning people to the lake of burning sulfur, and we must resist sin. Remember, folks, the devil doesn't believe sin is no longer the issue since the cross. That is why he continues to tempt people to sin, even Christians. We must resist the devil and overcome evil. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen to these scriptures from Hebrews about sin. Hebrews is the book of the New Testament that especially exalts Jesus' sacrificial and redemptive bloody death over all others. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And just 3 verses later, Hebrews 12:4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Concisely stated, the Christian life here is shown as a struggle against sin, resisting it as we serve God. That is the message of the Bible. The Apostle Paul also wrote this to the saints at Rome. Listen to this. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. But the little known teachers just cited are far from the whole problem. On the reverse end of the popularity scale, we have giants like Joseph Prince, who has a mega church in Singapore with 30,000 people attending. He's all over TV and the internet and bookstores. Folks, listen to his glaring error as he comments on Luke 15:4-7 about repentance. This is shocking and very incriminating for Prince.
And the Lord said this to me, the sheep consented to be loved. That's the only thing the sheep can do. And to God, that is repentance.
For the sake of clarity, Prince said, quote, the Lord said this to me, the sheep consented to be loved. That is the only thing the sheep can do. And to God, that is repentance. Unquote. One more time. Here's Joseph Prince saying that.
And the Lord said this to me, the sheep consented to be loved. That's the only thing the sheep can do. And to God, that is repentance.
Folks, that should grieve you to the very core of your being. The problem with false teaching like that is massive and worldwide. People with itching ears throw money at Joseph Prince, which makes the problem even worse. Such teaching has exponentially accelerated the sin problem. Joseph Prince is a definite false prophet. You can be sure of that. How can I be so sure? How can I say that categorically? Because Joseph Prince stated the Lord spoke to him about repentance. And according to Joseph Prince, the Lord Jesus defining repentance, the sheep consented to be loved. That's the only thing the sheep can do. And to God, that is repentance. That is pure poison and ridiculously strange to the life-giving message of the Bible. Folks, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus told people to repent. Do you think they were saying to the people they needed to consent to be loved? Surely not. That is not what Jesus told the church at Thyatira. Nevertheless, I hold this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating a food sacrifice to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. This is Revelation 2:20-22. Jesus' crystal clear definition of repentance is shown by comparing two scriptures. The real Jesus of the Bible, not the one that Joseph Prince claims speaks to him, spoke the following about real repentance. Listen to this. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. So if we go back to the book of Jonah, we can see explicitly what Jesus was referring to when he said the Ninevites repented. It's found in Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Repentance occurred, according to the Lord Jesus, when the Ninevites turned from their evil ways. They fasted, put on sackcloth, and urgently called on God. Read Jonah chapter 3 for yourself. The Bible message has no resemblance at all to what Joseph Prince wants us to believe about repentance, as he also fallaciously claims what he spoke came directly from the Lord. By claiming such, he is claiming to hear the voice of God, which is what prophets do. But the voice he claims he heard is not the real Jesus of the Bible, that's for sure. Joseph Prince is a champion in appeasing religious people with fantasy land teachings, which he often claims came from the Lord as the Lord spoke to him. Joseph Prince fairy tale doesn't go away. He continues on and on and on with different types of myths about the cross in his books as souls under his influence continue to perish. Listen to a few of his quotes. Quote, "We will never be punished because we have already received Jesus. As believers, God is no longer angry with us because all of his anger for our sins fell on Jesus at the cross." Unquote. That's in his book, Destined to Reign, 207 edition, page 41. Here's another quote from the same book on page 65. Quote, "Under the new covenant, God will never again chastise the believer for his sin." Unquote. At the core, Joseph Prince's teaching is the eternal security doctrine, and only God knows how many souls have been corrupted by the teachings of Joseph Prince. We have a detailed page on Joseph Prince on our website, evangelicaloutreach.org. It is clear, according to the Bible, that sin is still the issue after the cross, according to the Lord Jesus. Since that is indisputable and incontrovertible, how dare anyone take issue with the Lord Jesus himself or his apostles on this? Sin is still the issue under grace. Never forget that and don't let anyone deceive you about that. Early in the book of Acts, after Jesus died and rose again from the dead, nothing changed regarding sin being a person's downfall. To those never saved, Peter taught, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and time of refreshing may come from the Lord." Acts 3:19, just like in his epistle, Peter taught, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." 2 Peter 3:9, and at Lystra, repentance for salvation is shown again with Paul and Barnabas preaching this. Listen to this. Acts 14 verse 15. "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, humans like you. We bring you good news telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." Then at Athens, Paul taught, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he's commanded all people everywhere to repent." Repentance there is turning away from idolatry. Also note, they were to first repent, and then their sins would be wiped out. Calvinism, on the other hand, distorts God's word and says one repents after he is regenerated. Imagine that. To them, God elects someone to salvation, regenerates him, then he has faith and repents. They have it all distorted and confused. And for too many Calvinists, their pride will hold them in bondage to their creeds and confessions, and they will deny the message of the Bible. God Almighty described himself in Exodus 34:6 as the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. What a wonderful passage. But make no mistake about it, sin provokes God to anger, and his anger and wrath can be so fierce he kills people. Deuteronomy 6:14 and 15. "Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land." In the New Testament, Ananias and his wife Sapphira were struck dead over the sin of lying in Acts chapter 5. Again, showing sin is the issue under the new covenant after the cross. Not only that, Jesus threatens to kill people in Revelation 2 over sin. "I read it already, I'll do it again. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds." Revelation 2, 22 and 23. God killed everyone on the whole planet over sin except the 8 people in Noah's Ark with the great flood. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by God over homosexual sin. Jude wrote about that after the cross. Jude 7, it says, "In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire." If you still believe sin is no longer the issue since the cross, then I have 2 questions for you. Number 1, why did Paul tell Timothy after the cross, "Do not share in the sins of others, keep yourself pure," 1 Timothy 5:22. Question number two. Why did Paul repeatedly warn all the churches in the region of Galatia about sin causing them not to inherit the kingdom of God if sin is no longer the issue? Listen to this. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That was Paul who taught we are saved by grace. And here's the knockout verse from Peter himself, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The message of the cross, as strange as it sounds, has been a major stumbling block into sin for many people. Shocking. That occurs because of scriptural distortions, as you have already seen. Another dangerous Bible distorter is world famous Jimmy Swaggart. Listen to what Swaggart teaches about the cross. This is part of his cross message.
But he just accepts Christ, that's all, as his Savior. And then that person is saved. Thereafter, that person may have problems. They may fail many times, sometimes very severely, but they don't lose their soul in regard to that.
Swaggart says there are Christians that sin severely and many times, but retain their salvation. That is what he is trying to feed his Pentecostal audience. Pentecostal Jimmy Swaggart believes there are Christian adulterers, Christian drunks, Christian thieves, Christian swindlers, Christian murderers, but no Christian atheists. You can sin and sin and sin, but as long as you believe, you're still saved. Folks, that is not saving faith that sets one free from his sin addictions. Swagger teaches a license to sin, just like Joseph Prince, Charles Stanley, and John MacArthur, but he does it to a different crowd of religious people.
The only way you'll ever know God's truth about sin still being the issue or not is to carefully read through the New Testament, especially from Acts through Revelation. You'll surely read many things which you'll never hear in the church of our day, too. Let's return to Brother Dan.
Simon, the former sorcerer, came to saving faith under Philip's preaching and was Christian baptized in Acts 8:13. After an undesignated time period, the apostles Peter and John came from Jerusalem to lay hands on the believers in Samaria for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Simon tried to buy that spiritual gift from them, and Peter's answer was very revealing about sin being the issue to a person previously saved, and all this occurred after the cross. Listen to this, folks. Acts chapter 8, 20 through 24. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said will happen to me." Peter spoke those biting words to a man who had come to saving faith previously and was Christian baptized according to Acts 8 verse 13. The reason it is commonly taught Simon was never saved is to conceal he was no longer saved at Acts chapter 8 verse 20. If it was taught that Simon was saved at Acts 8:13, like the scripture says, then he lost his salvation, and there is no once saved, always saved. To prove Simon was previously saved, listen carefully to Acts 8:12 and 13. "But when they, the people of Samaria, believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by great signs and miracles he saw." Four observations. One, Simon had the same kind of faith as the others who believe from Philip's gospel preaching as shown in the Greek. Number two, Catholics should note that Peter didn't hear Simon's confession of sins to him, as some might think Catholic priests do for their quote-unquote sacrament of reconciliation. Three, Peter also told Simon to pray to the Lord for himself. Four, Simon had become captive to sin at that point. along with other verses such as 2 Peter chapter 2, 20-22, that is a very real and disturbing possibility for Christians who have previously been set free from their sin addictions. Consequently, folks, we must be careful and on guard. We must carefully guard our heart and keep ourselves pure. The point is again that sin is still the issue after the cross, during the new covenant, in our age of grace. That is clear, but there's much more. Here's Romans 6:16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Here's Romans 14:23. But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Romans 14:23 elaborates on the definition of sin. Why would Paul do that if sin was no longer the issue? 2 Corinthians 12:21 also shows that sin is the issue. Paul wrote, I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of their impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. The ones Paul referred to didn't repent of impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery, which they practiced. And then we got Ephesians 4:26 through 30. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Over and over and over, the Christians are taught under grace that sin is still the issue after the cross. What does that say about the cross? Does it undermine what Jesus did on the cross? No, no, no. It says the cross of Christ was where Jesus bought a redemption in full. That doesn't change. It won't ever change. But sin is still the issue. Sin still brings forth spiritual death to the righteous who turn to evil, just like in Old Testament times. That did not change. Listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And here's a passage from Ephesians 5, 5-7. Paul wrote, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. That was spoken to people saved by grace, sealed with the Holy Spirit after the cross. The Apostle John taught, proving again that sin is still the issue with God. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, 7 and 8. It is clear that sin is to be avoided at all costs. Hence, when a popular teacher, regardless who he is, says sin is no longer the issue, do not be deceived. Andrew Womack, the Word of Faith TV evangelist and founder of the Charisma Bible College from Colorado Springs, Colorado, spews out sin is no longer the issue with God too. Come on, folks. What are you going to do? It's your choice, but it's also your judgment before God, and it's your soul. Listen to this, a good prayer for you to pray. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. That's Psalm 119, 133. Again, do not be deceived. The problem of evil or sin is the issue now with Almighty God. And this is true even for Christians. If you go to a church or listen to a teacher who denies such, stop immediately for your own good.
Come to our massive website, evangelicaloutreach.org, where you can learn much more about God, the Christian life, and related spiritual things, including angels and demons. Books, audio, videos, and many text teachings are there. You're battling for your soul. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To contact us, write Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Make your life count for God.